in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning. How many of you are glad you're here? Say amen. God has been so good to all of us, hasn't he? He's blessed us. He's been wonderful to us. And this is the Thanksgiving time. And this week, that song that Brother Ricky led us in a while ago, and we may sing another verse or two of it, is Count Your Blessings. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You know, the devil wants to get on me and you and every one of us and make us think, you know, everything's bad and gloom, and we got problems in this and problems in that and all these other problems. And if we're not careful, we'll focus on those and we'll forget what the Bible says about honoring him and praising him. I want you to look with me in chapter number 5 of 1 Thessalonians this morning. The last chapter of 1 Thessalonians. But of the times and seasons, brethren, I have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travaileth upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. Paul said, hey, I don't have to explain to you the day you're living in and the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. We know that. We know that Jesus Christ is coming again. And don't be surprised if the Bible fulfills every promise of the Lord. And he said this, wicked men will wax worse and worse. And are they getting worse and worse? Say amen. And in this world you have tribulation. Do you have tribulation? Yes. Don't be surprised about that. He said, that's going to happen. I don't need to admonish you about that. You know Jesus is coming again. You know what kind of situation you're living in. But he said, we're not of the darkness. We're of the light. And so you and I are admonished to put on the helmet of salvation and faith and love in these last days. Encourage one another. Understand, listen, the days are getting darker, but it's getting darker for the world, and we're of the light. And praise God, the closer it gets to the night, the sooner Jesus Christ is coming again. And he said, lift up your eyes, your redemption draweth nigh, and wherefore comfort one another with these things. Thank God it's getting dark. Thank God things are getting bad, because that means Jesus Christ is coming again, and we're going to get out of here. Amen. But in these last days, we have some admonitions. And Paul, in closing out this book of 1 Thessalonians, he's just previously explained to them about the rapture of the church, how the Lord would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. He wants them to understand that, to be comforted in that, encouraged in that. Now, what do you do in light of that return? He said you're to live in hope, you're to live in faith, and you're to live in love. And then he says this a little further on. Pick up verse 10. He said, to obtain salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also as you do. He said in these last days, you'd encourage one another, you'd edify one another, build them up in the most holy faith. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and that are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. He said, those who minister the word of God, those who help you and encourage you, you ought to esteem them or pray for them, encourage them as they encourage you, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good among yourselves and all men. You and I to live in light of return. We'd encourage one another, strengthen those that are feeble-minded, those that are weak, be patient with all men. We're to do all those things, living in light of return. Don't live like you're defeated. Don't live like you're children of night. Live like you're children of the day. And in verse 16, here's what he said, rejoice evermore. Praise God. Regardless of what's going on, regardless of what's going on in your life, around you, in the world, you're to rejoice forevermore. Know that you're saved. He said you're to pray, verse 17, without ceasing. And in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, there are many other admonitions. I'll not read it for sake of time, because our emphasis this morning especially is going to be on verse number 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you and praise you for the wonderful singing this morning, Brother Ricky, God, for touching and blessing our hearts. Lord, how we thank you for your name, the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee will bow, every tongue confess, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if we ask anything in your name, you hear us. God, I pray this morning that, God, you'd minister the hearts of our friends here in the building, those who are in the radio audience and internet audience. And God, I pray, God, that, Lord, this morning you'd use me to be, Lord, an encourager, to help people, encourage people, our Father, who know you. And our Father, somehow through the Word of God this morning, you'd speak to those who don't know Christ, that they would know there's hope in him and they could be saved. Father, I pray, God, you'd help me personally, our Father, to have a life of thanksgiving. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done for me. I could never, ever in this world express my gratitude for all your blessings. But God, help me, our Father, to do better. And God, help me, our Father, Lord, to encourage others to live a life of thanksgiving. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned to you this week that little song's been on my mind. And count your blessings. Name them one by one. When upon life's billows your tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your blessings and see what God hath done. Listen, thank God for that little song. And we were shaking hands to hear most of it. But it's a tremendous song. And as I began to get that, I found that song in a songbook at the house, began to read through it. I said, wow, what a blessing that old song is. If you'd sing it and really mean it from your heart, count your blessings, name them one by one. Paul says, it's the will of God for you to offer thanksgiving. Of course, Thanksgiving's coming up in a few weeks. But we ought not to wait till a certain day to give thanks. We ought to live like the sign says out front that Marty and Sherry put up for us, thanks living, live with a thankful heart. You and I are to live that way and to be thanksgiving. I want to say to you in the first place this morning by way of introduction, thanksgiving is the duty of man. He said here, it's the will of God. You want to know what the will of God is, about what you're going to do, where you're going to go, what you, this and that? Well, let me just say this. Primarily, it's to give thanks to the Lord. You know what? As I began to go through my Bible concordance, you know what an amazing revelation I ran across? Did you know that there are at least twice as many references in the Bible to praise and thanksgiving as there are to prayer? We are admonished for every one time he says anything about praying, he says two things about praising. You are to praise him and magnify him and glorify him. And most of us feel convicted about our prayer life, when we really ought to be convicted about our praise life, that we don't thank him like we ought to. We don't praise him. We tend to see the bad instead of the good. We tend to think about what we don't have instead of what we do have. We tend to think about those type of things instead of magnifying the Lord and magnifying him. But it is the duty of man. Turn over, if you will, please, to Psalms number 92. Back in the Old Testament, David learned to praise the Lord, and he was called the sweet singer of Israel. But notice David said this in Psalms 92. He said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. You know what David said? David said you ought to be praising him morning, noon, and night. And you ought to just praise him. He said, it's a good thing. You want to do something good? You want to do something that's noble? You want to do something in the perfect will of God? You ought to serve him by praise and worship and thanksgiving. Acknowledge him. It is the duty of man to praise him. Look, turn over to Psalms, if you will, please, in Psalm 100, just a little further from where you are there. Turn to Psalm 100, this very familiar song. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him, and bless his name. The Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Praise God. He said, you enter to his gates with thanksgiving unless you owe money. Enter to his gates with thanksgiving unless your back hurts. Enter to his gates with thanksgiving and with praise unless you don't know where your next meal's coming from. I didn't say any of that. He said, you enter to his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. You're to do that. And it is the duty of man to praise the Lord and acknowledge him. Not only is it our duty of man to do that, but it is the desire of the Lord for us to do that. In John chapter 4 and verse 23, the Lord's talking to that woman at the well. And he makes this statement to her. He says this, that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the Bible says, and he goes on to say this, Jesus does. He said, the Father seeketh such to worship him. You know what he wants us to do? To worship him. It is the desire of God for you to worship him. And how do you do that? What does it mean to worship? Well, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. That's what it means. It means you worship him by telling him what he's worth and acknowledging him, who he is and what he's done for you. Turn over to Psalms number 69. We were in the book of Psalms. Go back to Psalm 69. And if you can find that. Psalm 69, I want to read to you a couple of verses there. Here, listen to David once again in Psalm 69. Look at verse number 30. He said this, I will praise the name of the Lord with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns or hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. He said this, I'm going to praise the Lord with a song. I'm going to magnify him with thanksgiving. He said, this will please the Lord. The Bible said, if you magnify him. Now, let me tell you, there's a verse in the New Testament that makes this statement in the book of Hebrews. It said that without faith, it is impossible to please him. So do you know what praise is? Do you know what thanksgiving is? It is an act of faith. Thank God for his mercy and grace. Thank God for what he's doing for me. Thank God for your provision. Thank God. And learn to thank him for everything and in praise. It is the desire of God. It is the duty of man to praise the Lord. But my thought this morning is on this. It is to count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord had done. You and I ought to praise the Lord. I want to get it in my heart and in your heart. Of all the things that God wants us to do, it may be the most important thing that you ever do in his will is to give thanks. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, and he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you believe that you've done the perfect will of God this past week? You say, well, I read my Bible and I gave out tracts. And I did those things. But how often did you praise the Lord? I want to say to you in the first place, when you count your blessings, you must count the source from which they come. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. The Bible says in the book of James, this statement. Well, let me give it to you. Turn over in the book of James. Near the end of your Bible, in the New Testament, you'll find the book of James, Hebrews, and then the book of James. And notice what it says in James chapter 1. If you want to just write it down, look at it later, that'd be okay. James chapter 1, I call your attention to verse 17. Listen to what it says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. You understand what he's saying? James says this, that every good and every perfect gift comes down from God the Father. Paul said, in everything give thanks. When you consider the source of every good blessing you've got, it is the Lord. We're glad to have our friends from Front Royal, Virginia here this morning, Brother Bob and Miss Betty. And God's blessed us to know them. They're blessed. But she just had cataract surgery. Some of you have had that. And one of her eyes. And she was telling us what a difference. Colors that she hadn't seen in a long time. And when she went back to the doctor after the initial surgery and they took everything off and the light was so bright and the colors were so vivid, she said, she got to praising the Lord. And she said, doctor, and although she said, I want to thank the Lord for giving you the wisdom to know how to do that. Thank you for all you've done. I give him praise that he's done that. And somebody, I don't recall, a nurse or somebody said, do you really believe that? And she said, absolutely. You see, when you consider the source, and if in everything you give thanks, my dear friend, think about how often you'll think about him. If you think about him, he is the source of every good gift, everything you've got. Well, you say, Brother Bill, I hadn't been very faithful to him. He still gave it to you. You say, well, I don't even know him. I'm not even a Christian. I don't even believe the Bible. Doesn't matter. He gave it to you. God created all things. He made all things. And the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Did you know that every breath that you breathe, God gave that to you? You know all the blessings that you've experienced, all the good things in your life? God gave that to you. He is the source of all our blessing. And my dear friend, we ought to magnify him and glorify him. That Paul said this, in everything give thanks for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Consider the source. I don't know how often you thought about the Lord this week, but if you begin to count your blessings and name them one by one, I guarantee you, you'll think a lot about him this week. If you realize the source of all your blessing is him and acknowledging him, when you look at everything that you've got, all that's come your way, you acknowledge him. He gets glory. He gets glory. And you magnify the Lord. David said, he said, it will please you. I'll magnify you in song. I'll give thanksgiving to you, and it will please you. Listen, think oft on his name. The Bible said he's got a book in the book of Malachi, and he's making a list and checking it twice. Not of those who've been naughty and nice, but of all those who thought on his name. And if this week, when you begin to look at your blessings, you begin to count your blessings between now and Thanksgiving, and every time you think about a blessing, you acknowledge that God gave it to you, why, listen, he'll be on your mind and heart continually forever if you'll start magnifying him. Not only must you consider when you count your blessings the source of your blessings, but you ought to consider the scope of your blessings when you count your blessings. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Consider the scope of your blessings. We think about sometimes secular and spiritual. And sometimes we do this. We put God as the source of spiritual blessing, and our hard labor or our friends or our employer as everything else. But when you consider the scope of God's blessings, everything you have materially came from him. Everything you have physically came from him. He fashioned you in the womb. The muscles in your body, the nerves from your go through your body, the ability to see, hear, breathe, taste, sense came from him. The scope of his blessing, he's blessed us with all the material things. He blesses us with all the physical aspects of our life. And we were talking with Bob and Betty yesterday about healing, and I brought a message the other week on about miracles just briefly back in the men's fellowship. But did you know that every healing is divine healing? I don't care if you cut your finger at home and in the next few days you realize that it's got a little scab on it and then by Friday it's completely gone, it's completely well and you didn't do anything about it and it's healed itself. Well, it didn't just heal itself. Every good and perfect gift comes down from him. Every act of healing is a blessing. Everything he does for you is blessed. The scope of his blessing, everything material, everything physical, and everything spiritual came from him. Every spiritual blessing you have, the blessing of prayer, the blessing of peace that comes from his abiding presence. He said, I give to you my peace, not as the world gives you peace, but I give you peace. He gives you peace, as Peter says, that passeth all understanding. Sister April's just gone through her surgery. And in the hospital, she said this to me and Regina, I am amazed at the peace that I have. God keeps his word, doesn't he? He gives you peace that passes all understanding. Because Lord knows I'm not worthy of it. And I don't have enough faith. I don't pray hard enough. I'm not as servant like I ought to be. And yet He's blessed me with peace. He's blessed me with joy. He's blessed me with His divine presence. He blesses me with the possibility of prayer and the approach to Him. I can enter into His gates with thanksgiving. I'm going to tell you right now, the song that Brother Marshall Barefoot wrote, the more I think about that song, that's great. That is great. It's wireless. I mean, your prayer's wireless. And this morning, my phone rang at the house. I picked up one of our portable phones at the house, and it was Brother Tom Feliciano in the Philippines calling me by Magic Jack. And I talked to him, this morning, it was clear, and I talked to Calvin, I talked to Brother Tim. It was clear halfway around the world. And that still blows my mind. But here I am, just an average person here in Johnson County. And all I've got to do is just in my heart or even vocally say, "Dear Lord Jesus." And boy, I'm hooked up wireless directly to the throne of God. You talking about a blessing. He's not distracted. He doesn't have he's got plenty of things going on. But He made this promise. "If you call on me, I'll answer you. Call on me," He said. "I'll be there." He said, "If you come to me, I know I've cast you out." I think about the spiritual blessings. And listen, how many times have you needed something from the Word of God and God sent that Word? You may have read it devotionally that morning. You may have picked up a day of discovery or daily bread or somebody might have texted you something. And just out of the blue, God sent this Word. And it ministered to your heart. It gave you something nothing else could. I've told you about when mine and Regina's first little girl died, went to heaven, Christy. And I had so many people, we had so many people who loved us and consoled us and everything else. And just a day or so before the funeral, I had took my Bible and it just fell open to John 14. And I tell you, my heart was just crushed as was hers and everything else. And it was almost unconsolable. And yet I read these words, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive into myself. And there I may be also." And what I've told 1,000 families and maybe 2,000 families since then is the same thing. God spoke to my heart. He said, "I didn't do one thing but keep my promise in regard to Christy. I went to prepare her a place, and at a certain time, I came to receive her to myself, that where I am, she might be there forever." And I tell you, I have never worried about Christy again since then. I thank God that she's in a safe place. Thank God she's never had to worry about being molested. And thank God I've never worried about her getting involved in drugs or being involved in some horrific accident. I've always known where she's at from that very moment. She's in His very divine presence. And I'll tell you one thing. If you don't think that's a blessing, if you have a child that you buried, and God doesn't speak, if He speaks peace to your heart and you know where they are, what a blessing. If I didn't have anything else in my life for the rest of my life, I ought to give Him thanks for that. Thank God for the spiritual blessing. Oh, the scope of His blessing. Every area of my life, the physical blessings, the material blessings, the spiritual blessings, every one of them came from Him. Oh, listen, count your blessings. Name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord's done. But not only must I count the source of my blessing and count the scope of my blessing, but I ought to count the sum of my blessings. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I've done this before. I'm going to do it again. I want you to go to wherever you want to go. Now, I started to say a certain store. You go anywhere you want to. Get you a ring binder notebook. You ought to get one at least that's got 70 pages in it. You'll probably need more than that. You can buy them for 49 cents to 99 cents, whatever. But you ought to get one. And start in the morning or start this afternoon. And just start writing down your blessings. Name them one by one. Name them. Think about your material blessings. Think about the shoes you've got. How many of you are glad you got shoes on this morning? How many of you are glad your neighbors got on shoes this morning? Raise your hand. How many of you this morning had water to take a bath and you're thankful for that? And you had some soap and you have a little bit of deodorant and you're thankful for that? Say amen. How many of you are thankful your neighbors got deodorant? Say amen. Count your blessings. I'm telling you now, write them down. Because there are people who don't have shoes. There are people who don't have water. There are people who don't have soap. They don't have toothpaste. You know I am. My wife knows really I'm crazy. I went in the bathroom, brushed my teeth, had a phone call, went to a phone call, came back, brushed my teeth again. I brushed my teeth twice this morning, and it doesn't hurt anything. It's a good thing. But what I'm saying is I forgot I did it. And so then I got a little later, I got dressed, got my suit on, got my tie on. I was tying my tie, and something felt real bristly. Oh, I remember the second thing. First thing, brush your teeth. Second thing is shave. I brushed my teeth twice and forgot to shave. I was glad I had an electric razor. Went back and shaved real quick. I ought to write that down. Go, when you come up in your yard, thank God that you had a car. Brother Tom preached, Brother Calvin, Sunday morning, it's Sunday night now. It's actually it's fixing to be Monday over there because it's 5 minutes to 12 here. It's 5 minutes to midnight over there. But Brother Tom preached, Calvin preached this morning at Brother Noel's, which is, I don't know, it's probably 30 minutes to 30 miles or so, maybe a little, up in a place called Plowey, and they're in Eba. And so Brother Calvin was going to go preach, and Brother Jeff was going to go with him up there for Calvin to preach in the morning service. Tim and them were at Tom. And so they came to pick up Brother Calvin to go back to preach, and they came on a little motorcycle, a little motor scooter, and had Calvin and Jeff and the motorcycle driver with no sidecar. And so all three of them got on that motorcycle and rode about 30 miles. And Calvin thought that was a blessing. Amen. How many of you glad you had a car? Amen. I'm glad I had a car. And I thank God I had some gas in it. Thank God that the other morning I had some heat in it. You ought to thank God for the heat in your car. Thank God for all the... You go through your house and begin to count the blessings. How many of you glad you got a chair? You got a recliner? Got a couch? You ought to write that down. You got a floor. Some people don't have a tile or linoleum or pergo or whatever you've got. They don't have that. Thank God for all the material blessings. Thank God you got a cup and a saucer and a plate and a fork. You begin to go through. I'm telling you, listen. List what you've got. Begin to do it. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Go in your pantry. Open your cabinets and begin to write down. It's amazing to me how that we live here in America. We're so blessed, and third world countries have nothing. If they have a little thing of rice, they feel like they're just blessed. And kids can come in. You got a freezer full of food, a refrigerator full of food, a pantry full of food, and they open it up, close the door, open it up, close the door. We don't have nothing here to eat. What that means is we don't have Pop-Tarts and Cheetos or something like that. But you know what? If you begin to list and write down all of your blessings all this week, you ought to do the sum of them. You won't finish this week. If you begin to write down the physical blessings that you have experienced, you will not be able to list them all. Nothing wrong with doing that. He said, in everything give thanks. And the sum of them is in the book of Ephesians. He says this in the book of Ephesians in that regard. Turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter number 5. I read this yesterday, but in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 20, I'll read it to you real quick. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You give him thanks for all things, all the time. And so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, seven days a week, 24 hours a day, your waking hours, you ought to be thanking him for all things. You know why? Because of the sum of the things he's given you. If you named every blessing you've got, you'd be preoccupied with blessing God. You'd be preoccupied with praising God. You'd call his name between now and next Sunday 100,000 times and express your gratitude, and you still wouldn't be through. Think about it. Because the devil will jump on your back, and when you got a headache and when something's not just right, that'll wipe you out. That's all you'll think about for the rest of the day. And when somebody calls you and says, how you doing? I'm doing all right, but boy, my back is killing me. My arthritis is kicked in. All these are the problems I've got. But he said in the Bible, you ought to give him thanks always for all things. And if you'll be consumed with the sum of your blessings, boy, you'll talk about him a lot this week. You'll praise him a lot this week. My dear friend, count your blessings. Name them one by one. and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Haitian, I'm through. Not only must you consider the source of your blessings when you count them, and the scope of your blessings and the sum of your blessings, but I want to share with you the secret of counting your blessings. I want to show you what the Lord showed me in Psalms number 69. I read that to you a while ago, and I read through it hurriedly, and you may have saw it or you may have caught it, but in Psalms number 79, notice the secret of counting your blessings. In Psalms number 69, look at verse number 30 once again. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns. Well, I'd say to you this, what pleases God is your praise. You may not can do this or do that or do the other, but you can praise him. Not one person in here can pray that couldn't praise him. You say, well, Brother Billy, I can't walk. You can still praise him. You can't see, but you can still praise him. I can't speak to people publicly, but you can praise him. Oh, I don't have any money, but you can still praise him. And if you'll praise him, it pleases him. You want to please the Lord? How many of you like to just really please the Lord? Hadn't it been good to you? All you got to do is praise him. That's what David said. He said, I learned the secret. The secret is this. If you really want to please the Lord, praise him. I mean legitimate, honest praise. Thank God for it. Learn to have a heart of gratitude and thank the Lord, and it pleases him. But there's more to the secret than that. He said this. He said, notice verse number 32. The humble shall see this and be glad. Hey, you want to be a testimony? You want to witness for the Lord? All you got to do is just praise him and magnify him and acknowledge his blessing, and that'll be a testimony to the folk around you that there is a God, and he's a God who's blessed you, and you're testifying to the fact that he's a great God. He's able to. The Bible said if you'll do that, they'll ask you for the reason for the hope that's in you. Magnify him. There's a secret to witnessing, and it's praising God. I mean, if you go out and you're down and defeated and you're worried about Obamacare and you're worried about this and you're worried about that and then trying to tell somebody about Jesus, they'll think you're an idiot. Hey, listen, you say your sins are forgiven, heaven's your home, you don't have anything to worry about. Why are you worried about all this stuff? But if you're praising the Lord, magnifying him, they say, why do you act like that? Now, don't you know this world's collapsing? Don't you know everything's fixed? Mayberry's gone forever? Don't you understand that? Yeah, but heaven hadn't got here yet. Thank God I'm going out of here. Amen. And Jesus is real. And thank God the secret to witnessing is praising. But there's another secret to counting your blessings. Look what it says in this last verse. Verse 32, the humble shall see this and be glad. Your heart shall live that seek God. I want you to turn back to Psalms 22. In Psalms number 22, and notice what it says in Psalms number 22. That little phrase, they that seek God, their heart shall live. I thought about what he said this. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. And here in this passage of scripture, he says this in Psalms 22. Look at verse number 26 and listen to what he says. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Hey, here's a secret. Do you want to have vitality in your life? Do you want to live a life where you're not defeated and depressed and cast down all the time? The secret is praising the Lord and counting your blessings and magnifying him. He said your heart will live forever if you'll give him thanksgiving, if you'll give him praise. If you want to have real life in your spiritual life, what is it? You say, I don't understand. I've been down. I've been this, that, and the other. How about just start praising him? How about just counting your blessings, name them one by one? And the secret of praising him is this. He gets pleasure out of it. People get a testimony out of it. And your heart will live forever. And you'll have real life and vitality in your Christian life. It is people. It is not so much Bible that you know. And you know how I feel about the Bible. But it is our expression to him of gratitude and praise for everything he's done for us. And worshiping him and magnifying him. And my dear friend, that's what's the secret of life and vitality. Your heart will live forever if you'll magnify him and worship him. Now listen. Every one of these phrases, he says this, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's only one crowd that can really do that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's those who know Him. That's those who've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you this morning, have you ever done that? Have you ever received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? He's been so very good to us. He's blessed you, though you don't know Him as Savior. He's still blessed you. And you and I who know the Lord, He's been so good to us. I want us just to bow our heads for a few moments. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe God the Holy Ghost showed you a new light. You've always felt like He was a God way off somewhere that was angry, bitter, and that hated you. But the truth of the matter is, for God so loved the world, and He's blessed you. He has kept you. He's been good to you. And most of us who are saved now, I guarantee you, every one of us, after we got saved, we looked back and we saw the blessings of God on our life. We saw His protecting us and keeping us from our own stupid self, how He took care of us, how He blessed us. We didn't deserve it, but we really didn't realize it until after we got saved that He blessed us all the way through our life. He'd been so good to us. Right now, Holy Ghost of God speaks to your heart. If you don't know Him as your Savior and Lord, Paul says this to that church at Thessalonica, Jesus is coming again, dark days are coming, wrath is coming, but God has blessed us. We are not the children of darkness, but the children of light. If you want to be a translator from the kingdom of darkness to be children of light, you have to trust Christ. Right now, right where you are, if you don't know Him, will you trust Him? Will you turn from your sin and turn to the Savior? If I didn't believe He was real, I wouldn't be here today. If I didn't believe He loved you, I wouldn't be here today. If I didn't believe that anybody in the sound of my voice here in the building, internet or radio, if you'll call on the name of the Lord, turn from your sin and turn to the Savior, He'll save you. I believe that with all my heart. Would you do that now? If you would you pray this simple prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come in my heart and forgive my sin. Save me right now. Give me, Lord, everlasting life. I believe that You were buried, rose again, and You're alive now. I receive You as my Savior and Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for loving me, for dying for me, and for saving me right now. Those are not magical words, but the believing is what saves a person. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. But if you've prayed that prayer, you're in a minute. Pray God make it real to you. I wonder why we have our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Anybody in this building this morning for the very first time, man or woman, boy or girl, you said, Brother Billy, this morning when you prayed, I asked Jesus to come in my heart. I sure would love to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Let me just acknowledge the fact that you're here, that you prayed that simple prayer this morning. Anybody across the building? Anybody? How many of you this morning? Sometimes the devil gets on you and you get down, you get discouraged. Things are not going the way you'd like for it to. Your finances are real tight and your job security is not there. And maybe going through some physical problems. And sometimes the devil just gets you down. I'm going to tell you that there's a secret to counting your blessings. And it's this. It pleases the Lord. It's a testimony to others. And it calls your heart to live forever. I mean, you want life and vitality. You want to be able to live in this world with a joy and a hope. The secret is giving Him thanks, counting your blessings. You won't worry about the future. You won't grumble about what you've got. You won't be jealous of what your neighbor's got. If you'll learn to count your blessings and name them one by one. When upon life's billows, your tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. You don't have to leave this world discouraged, defeated, and depressed. Your heart will live forever if you'll start praising Him. Can I say this to you? As a believer, the minute your heart quits beating, you'll never pray again. When the minute your heart quits beating, faith will be no more. because you'll be in his very presence. Faith will become sight, but what will be amplified and magnified is your praise. Your praise and your thanksgiving will continue for all eternity. So why don't you start doing now what you're going to do for all eternity and praise him, magnify him. God's good. God's gracious. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. I'm going to ask Brother Ricky if he'll sing one verse of this good song that they're playing right now, whatever God leads them to do. I want to give this invitation. In just a little bit, I'm going to have you go out and get the Samaritan Christmas boxes, but let's wait and do that in a moment. Right now, I want to give opportunity for those who may not know Christ to come to this altar and receive the Lord Jesus Christ or acknowledge the fact you did. Maybe some are here and God's been dealing with you about something, or maybe you want to just get it before everybody else goes to the altar around Thanksgiving. You want to just come this morning and begin to acknowledge your blessing. I want to challenge you literally to do the sum of your blessings. Get your notebook, start writing down the blessings of the Lord this week. And as you write down that blessing, the sum of them, think about the source. You'll have a great week. I promise you, you will. You begin to go through your house, write down every little thing you've got, all the little whatnots, all every pair of shoes, everything you've got. You'll have a busy week. You'll have a blessed week. You'll please God. You'll honor him. And your heart will live forever.